glasses and hey, recording, man.
Yeah, I dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Feeling refreshed, ready to take on the new year. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine, man. May all acquaintance be forgot.
Old anxiety.
Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
2024. Who knew?
Man, can you, it's hard for me to fathom that it's 2024.
No.
Right?
No, absolutely.
You
it's we're in the future.
Yes.
We're not coming back to the future. This is actually the future.
You know, Sandy, my favorite show as a young boy was Lost in Space.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever,
Oh, sure. I remember Lost in Space.
Danger, Will Smith.
Will Smith,
danger,
Will.
Danger.
Danger, Will, yeah.
Yeah. And so that time was projected 2025, 2020. We're there.
Yeah, Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Before that was the, and Ming, the Emperor Ming, and all that was all happening now.
So 2024,
mm-hmm.
And it's mind-boggling to me because I don't know what happened to 2023 and 2022 and from 2000 on to where we are now. What happened?
Well, actually, you might do well to have missed it.
I know. We could have slept through it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations, hopefully. And there are, you know, grounds for hoping that 2024 can be better. The hiccup that we face is a presidential election, which means that 2024 is going to be filled with news that we've heard day after day and stories and ultimately we're going to be asked to vote and we'll find out who we're voting for and what the outcome is.
So actually you and I are going to have the time of our lives. We're going to spend some time at the Republican
the convention.
Convention.
Yeah. They're going to let us in.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, no, we're in.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. Civic media is in. And we'll get a chance to hang out. Maybe we'll interview Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That's going to be your job.
Or Lauren
Bobert.
Bobert, whatever.
Yeah, they carry. I think, they're concealed carry believers.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be careful. Questioning them will be done carefully.
Yeah. So, I'm sure we'll get a chance to hobnob with the highbrows and even some of the lowbrows, Getz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe we'll get just stuck with Getz and others.
Well, 2024 is, we've seen a lot,2000s. The turn of the century came with 9/11.
Right.
I mean, that was like right on the heels of the turn of the century. And ever since then, it's been a roller coaster ride. It really has. And we had some ups, economy and things thriving, and then a collapse of the economy, and then revival and Donald Trump. That's been a roller coaster ride in and of itself. Wars, new wars. I don't remember things happening at this pace. Although, in the 60s. You know, we lived in the 60s and things were happening pretty rapidly in the 60s in terms of bad news. The potential for bad news was far greater than we believed in 1961.
You know, Sandy, the 1960s almost appear to be medieval times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the 1960s, right?
Right, but I mean, you know, look, it took us from the beginning with the Kennedy assassination, and then a period of assassinations in Vietnam and the turmoil surrounding Vietnam, and Watergate came in the early 70s, but I mean, in a 10-year span from 63 to 73, this country was on a roller coaster as well, and we came out of it, and now we've been on this roller coaster that involves supply chain problems, the issues associated with COVID and what happened to us during COVID, and technological evolution that is, I think, at least changed us socially and is changing the society. And so we've got a whole bunch of things at play. And I think that 2024 could be the beginning of a swing towards some equilibrium. I don't know what that equilibrium is going to look like exactly.
Well, so you talked about, some of the historic things that took place, back in the 60s. And there's never been a time like, 1968 that, well, I shouldn't say never. There are certainly some things, but as impactful.
Yeah.
As what took place in 1968. And, I was old enough at 14 years old to think the world was going to come to an
end. Well, I mean, maybe some people listening can't fasten on what happened in that year unless you lived in it. But I mean, it was the Martin Luther King assassination, the Malcolm X assassination, the Chicago convention, the riots in Chicago associated with the underground, I think the shootings at Kent State University. It was a time of great turmoil, and then these assassinations were like systemic shocks. Bobby Kennedy, it had been piling that on top of what had happened when
Vietnam
with the Kennedy assassination, and then the sort of ongoing percolating social strife that surrounded Vietnam. And in 67 and 68, the universities were turning upside down.
The cities, the inner cities were on fire.
Yep.
I mean, it was just a monumental, historic time.
Well, in Milwaukee, we had riots
as well. Yeah. Sandy, it's 2024 for people who say, hey, you geezers, get beyond that, okay? It's
Well, I think the only point about talking about it is we went through that, came out of it. And the 80s and particularly the 90s were pretty solid times. 90s in particular were a very positive time. And we've had, 24, 23 years of this century in which it's been, there's been a lot of turmoil and there's been ups and downs. And however, I think there's promise that, when you can look backwards and say, well, we came out of that, we're going to come out of this. And the question is just what will society look like when we settle into the equilibrium that follows this kind of turmoil.
So, Sandy, feeling melancholy this morning.
You're feeling melancholy.
Yeah, man. I
it's hard to tell with your youthful face.
So as I was moving things around at home, I uncovered a book that I read a long time ago called When We Had Porches. And for people who don't know what a porch is,
there you go. That's right. We might have to explain it. It's like for old people, you have to say, this is a cell phone. But for young people, you have to say, that is a porch. But really, what's that for?
And so the porches, what the guy was trying to say was, it was a time when people got to, when they got off work, when they got home, long before we had all this technology, people would come home, families would gather, neighbors would gather and sit on one another's porches and have conversations about life and a simpler time, right?
Yeah.
Much simpler time because you didn't have 60,000 cable channels. You didn't have, the cell phones and the laptops and all of those things. But I remember as a young boy, man, my mother and father sitting on the porch with the neighbors, interacting, having these conversations about the kids, about life, and all those things. And there was something serene about that, kids playing out in front where they could see them. And that had some value.
Well, of course. I mean, I think that personal interaction, physical personal interaction, has been shown to have a great deal of value. It makes people comfortable with one another. It's like, you know, when you get a new dog, you have to socialize it. You have to make sure that it understands how to deal with actual other physical beings.
Right.
People, dogs, whatever. We all, as human beings, have to be socialized. And socialization is something we experience over time. It's how we get comfortable with people who are not us, people who are unlike us, maybe. Physical interaction. And that book, unfortunately, represented nostalgia. I mean, the book, when it was written, I'm sure was talking about something that the writer was emphasizing, the nostalgic aspect of when we sat on porches, because we don't do that anymore.
No question, Sandy. And you hit the nail on the head, man, when you talk about the aesthetic value of that. It's something that you can't put your finger on or monetize it. But, man, things like that are things that our society is missing, right? I mean, that is something that we got to figure out a way, maybe not through porches, but interaction, especially with children.
Yeah, physical interaction. Right. Because what's happened is we've developed methods of interaction that don't involve physical interaction. It doesn't involve seeing, touching. It doesn't involve the necessity of interacting on real time. I mean, you know, when you get a text message, you can wait a little while to send a message back. Emails can be answered in 10 minutes or an hour. Everything can be done on your time. And it's not, there's no, the interpersonal aspect of it is lost.
844-967-2789. Happy New Year to you guys. Your thoughts will return. To the 2024 edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host and cohort, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Before we went to break, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the good old days when people communicated. I was telling you before we got started, I remember I wound up, man, when Facebook was really kind of taking off and I was doing radio. And the goal was to get 5,000 followers.
Friends.
Right. Friends.
Yeah.
And
people you can spend a lot of time with. You have 5,000 of them.
And I got to 5,000 friends and I was strutting like a peacock. Head held high in the air. I got 5,000 friends. And I think somewhere along the line, Sandy, people have kind of looked at that as those people are their friends. And so they communicate with people they don't know, they don't see, they don't touch.
Well, they don't communicate 5,000 times either on Facebook. All you have to do is communicate once,
right,
and broadcast it to 5,000 people. And that's conversation and that's interaction. No, I mean, that's one of the problems is that it's sort of warped us. So like I said, growing up is a concept of socialization. In fact, kindergarten was designed to socialize children so that they would be ready with the at least socialization under their belt to interact with other children and with teachers when they got to first grade.
Right.
So, you know, there's been a recognition from a scholastic standpoint for a long time that we need to interact with one another physically. And, you know, one of the problems that we had during the pandemic was that we became even more isolated. Virtual work isolates us right. So that we can work just with technological kind of interaction. School became virtual so that with this, the socialization process that's supposed to happen in school stopped happening. And so that really accelerated what was already ongoing, which was, you know, coaching boys rowing, yes. I'd be on a bus, we'd be going to the next race. And kids would be sitting next to each other texting. And you know who they were texting to?
One another.
The person next to them. You know, there might be a group. So there'd be four. Right. And there would be a four-person text group. And they'd be texting to one all of them on the same bus. You know, so this made it possible. And we all know that in the interaction of our sort of personal business, we send text messages rather than making phone calls. Phone calls are kind of inconvenient. Plus the fact you have to have this uncertainty of a conversation where things might not go exactly as you would like to control them. But in a text message, you can structure what you say and you can read what the answer is and you can spend some time thinking about it and then you can respond. Everything's on our time. That's one of the conveniences of the shift we have towards virtual everything. Is that everything can be done more or less on your own time because you can answer the text message when you want. You can read it when you want. It's less intrusive to send a text message than to call someone because calling them requires that they answer the phone. And so we've kind of changed this level of spontaneous interaction, and it's all become quite not spontaneous.
You know, Sandy, I watch Meet the Press on a Sunday morning, and probably what got my mind connected to this was they were talking and they dedicated the whole hour to suicides and they were able to tie in part of the social media apparatus. I mean, the people in the know that part of this isolation
right.
That people are feeling is tied into social media.
Well, sure, it's tied into social media. And then the isolation obviously leads to, I mean, one of the ways we get comfort is to find out that we aren't alone, that the fears we have are shared by others, that the uncertainties we have about life are shared by others. It's the sharing of issues and problems that ends up being the solution for many people to achieving grace, getting comfort. And we're getting further away from that, and hopefully this 2024 will be a period when we start moving back towards actual social interaction, learning how to play nicely with one another. That's what kindergarten's all about, and actually you can see in American political society, at least, we've lost the capacity to play nicely with one another.
You know, Sandy, long term, you talked about the lack of development by children impacts and affects as they grow to become adults, right?
That isolation
follows them and retards in some way, shape, or form the development of the human being, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, the studies, I keep coming back to it. If we really want to, if we really believe in America and the community of America, and we really want to have our children with having all the benefits and potential, realizing their potential, we need to have preschool education and preschool care, and we need to have them assimilate into school, right? And schools need to be schools. If everyone was homeschooled in America, and there is this trend towards homeschooling, which is furthering this isolation,
right?
You know, we're going to get further and further away from being able to interact productively with one another and being able to realize the benefit of community. And community is from the standpoint of long-term history, it's been society that it has differentiated humans from the rest of the animals, our capacity to form societies, to cooperate within societies, to have cooperative behavior, to hand things down from generation to generation through our societal makeup. And we're going to lose it. If we lose a grip on society, we'll lose a grip on, you know, the major benefit of human.
And so we're not saying that technology does not have its place. It certainly does have its place. But I guess it's those of us who've been around a little while know the value of the things Sandy has been, you know, echoing. And so your thoughts, 844-967-2789, will return. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, the fact that technology and has kind of interfered or retarded the development of children at young ages and even, you know, adults. I was say before we go to the phone lines, I was telling you that Simone Biles, her husband, Green Bay Packer defensive back.
Yeah, Jonathan Owens.
Yes. He did not even know who she was. And he was on a site and he saw, hey, this woman has a lot of followers. I think I should get to meet her. He didn't know who she was. And because he knew she was somebody prominent because of all the followers, he hooked up with her, as the young folks say. And then in a short period of time, they were married. And, you know, it's, I just think, man, it's, you know. Anyway, let's go to Steve from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Steve. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Happy New Year.
Hey, Yeah, same to you. Actually, I wanted to, before I say what I got to say, just Happy New Year's to you and Sandy, and also I believe it's Kelvin on the board.
Yes, thank you.
Happy New Year's to you all, and I hope that you guys have a prosperous and joyous 2024. Also got a shout out to Kelvin, loving the Phil Collins this morning, waking me up. Now here's,
that's all Earl,
here's what
Steven.
I got to say. What's that?
That's all Earl on the music.
It's Phil Collins, man. Phil Collins.
Genesis.
Here's what I got to say. I actually am glad you brought this topic up, and I'm really glad Sandy made the comment about homeschooling and that relating to isolation as well. My sister-in-law just had two twins, and she has made it clearly known that she plans on homeschooling them. And me and my wife kind of pressed her on this because we were curious what the reasonings behind it were. And her reasonings were is that she did not want her kids going to school and getting inundated with different political views than what they believe. And I heard Sandy laugh. We did the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute here. This is part of the problem. You have parents keeping their kids home and electing to homeschool them because they don't want them getting different ideas than their own. This is part of the issue. And these kids, if this happens, which I have no reason to believe that it won't, will grow up and only have one view on the world. And then when they grow up and they go out into the world and they get challenged on this view, they're not going to know what to do with themselves because they have no idea what the other side is about because they were never taught it. So this is very much an issue. I don't know how we're going to solve it, but I definitely agree with you guys that's an issue and we need to figure something out.
Hey, Gary, thank you very much for the call. You know, great stuff as always, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, part of the whole reason for schooling is to be exposed to thought and to different forms and ways of thinking so that we can make choices about how we want to think. And I think there's lots of evidence out there that the people who have hidden from them during their childhood different ways and different thoughts can oftentimes become very rebellious when they break out into the world on their own and are left to their own devices and have to formulate thoughts without the foundation of a thought process. And so, there are school systems that were aimed to try to hide from people thoughts different than the ones they want them to think. People point at the madrasas in the Mideast and say, look, that's what's breeding problems. Well, the whole process of a madrasa is trying to channel a person's, like a child's thought in a particular direction and shield them from other kinds of thoughts. I'm not sure how successful it is.
All right. Good morning, Cassandra from Middleton. Long time. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I just wanted to make another point about homeschooling. And yes, there are parents who make the decision to homeschool because they do not want their child to encounter certain political views. However, I did homeschool my children, and I made the decision, it was primarily for my son. He required more attention than the schools could actually give. Now, many of the schools, they have declining budgets. Some schools just do not have the personnel who can provide the services that the child needs. So it isn't just because parents do not want their children exposed to a different point of view. There are parents such as myself, we do it out of desperation because the public school just did not provide the services that our child needed.
So Cassandra, hang on. So you're a professor. So you have the capacity and understanding of education. If there's anybody equipped to do it, a person such as yourself, yes. But we're talking about the average everyday person who does not understand that. Sandy, you want to?
Well, I don't ever want to generalize about anything, actually. So I think in certain circumstances, homeschooling can make lots of sense. And I just think that overall, there's obviously been studies done and experience-based knowledge gained that socialization of schooling can be very important. Now, if your child is going to go to a school where the socialization has lots of negative aspects to it, if the school isn't safe, of course, that's another different situation. So it's obviously situational. I was generalizing only to the notion that clearly socialization of young people is an important process, and that schooling represents a fundamental way that young people get socialized.
Cassandra?
Andy, I couldn't agree with you more. Socialization is important. And when I was homeschooling, I had to work my butt off to make sure that my son had social contact with other children his age. So we did join many homeschooling clubs and whatever activities the public schools would allow my child to participate in. We would do that, but parents who make the decision to homeschool, they are working a lot harder than you think they are. And I just wanted to give you another perspective. Not all parents do it because they're trying to socially isolate their children.
Cassandra, I don't think Sandy implied that at all.
Well, I know, but she makes a good point, and there obviously are circumstances. But generally speaking, and I'm just trying to generalize that I think that it's important that we have schools where children attend and socialize and run into the different things that they will run into in their life as they get older, so that that's part of the socialization process. Getting comfortable with one another, getting comfortable with people who look different than us, is an important thing.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, and thanks always. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, Happy New Year to all three of you guys, and I hope that 2024 is going to be better than 2023, but I'm not sure about that, especially what Sandy said earlier about the election coming up. Who knows the decisiveness between the Republicans and the Democrats? It's like it's getting wider and wider, you know. But of course, I want to call about the homeschooling. I think it was Steve, I think the previous caller,
right.
Before Cassandra, he mentioned about kids need to hear both sides. And since, you know, I'm a 71 year old conservative, born again Republican, and I've been telling you guys all along how much I listen to, you know, Morning Joe and, you know, all these other different stations. And I learn my favorite radio station and my favorite guest person is Sandy. And then you, Earl, is my favorite talk host. So why would I be listening to you every single day if you weren't interesting? You're a nice guy. I've met you a couple times. We had breakfast together. I've been at the baseball game with you. You're a good guy. If you were a rat, I wouldn't want to listen to you. But you bring up interesting stuff. You know what I'm saying? But no, you are a good person, and you are by far my favorite talk host show. And you're respectful. You are always respectful to me, and I appreciate that. But the homeschooling thing, my daughter homeschooled her kids, and then she decided to go back into teaching. She has a degree in teaching from K up to high school. Now she is a teacher at a Christian school, and all the kids go there now. And it does the socializing with the other kids. There's only like 250 kids in the school, but it is important. I'm a very sociable person. If I was locked in solitary confinement in prison, I would not do well. Okay, at all. So I agree with all you guys what you're saying, but the fact of the matter of fact is that I want my kids to learn my values, and I understand that, you know, you guys were talking earlier because of the way technology is growing, they don't know as much. I would say just the opposite. I think that they know probably too much because of the internet and everything else. And then with AI coming, I think there's going to be some good, but mostly bad. I think it's going to be, it's, you know, you can take me and you could turn me, put me on camera with my face and my words, and it could come out that I'm a Barack Obama supporter and Joe Biden supporter, and people could see this on TV, and they would say, oh,
it would destroy your life.
Yeah, it would. So AI can be very, very dangerous, you know. And I, you know, with the actors' strike, they were worried about AI for the actors. Well, you know something? Right now, they have the technology to make movies without Brad Pitt.
Hey, Gary, thank you very much for all the accolades. Really appreciate it. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think values are fundamentally what families have to imbue in their children, and I don't think families can give up that obligation and think that schools are going to be the place that values will be installed. Values are installed at home. Schools have to be a place that are value driven, but I think what is increasingly important is that families focus on having value-driven experiences for their children. And that's one of the problems we have in society is in the broken homes and places where it's more difficult for the parent to have that hand down to their child. We end up with more problems. And basically, that's driven in poverty.
All right, Mark, Tom, hang on. 844-967-2789. Nope, don't touch that dial. At 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My co-host is Sandy Williams. You know, we were, you know, talking about, you know, the technology and it's kind of, you know, broadened the conversation. And let's go to Mark from the site. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, thanks so much. And I can remember reading various science fiction back decades and decades ago, back when I was in probably sixth grade and seventh grade, you know, I was a big reader, big science fiction reader, and they addressed some of these issues about the isolation that they envisioned, you know, society having the computer kind of capacity we have today, where people are all isolated, you know, living in their own, have their own little home, and they could just attend school on the computer and the dangers that could cause, and that we're facing some of that. We are looking at some of that today, and that I appreciate. You know, Gary said, "Well, the value, want to teach the values." Well, let's remember, we live in a pluralistic society. We're different. We have certain core values we all should share. That this is a democracy, that there should be no religious tests in our government or in our society itself, and how people are recognized, and that it is just, for Cassandra, who had to homeschool one of her children because of the challenges that, because the educational system did not have the resources available to educate her child, that part of the problem there is a failure of some of our governments to fund our schools in the level necessary to handle kids that have special needs. I mean, that let's face it, look at the fact that how many decades did it take for us to actually, you know, recognize the needs of autistic children, people in the autism spectrum, that, you know, that I had a cousin who was in that spectrum, and he's the same age I am. I mean, that so he's hit 65 this year, but he was, you know, became an independent, with limitations, successful adult, and the struggles his mother must have went through because there were not the resources available to her at that point in time.
You know, one thing, let me just interrupt for a minute.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. One thing,
comment though piques in me is the notion that what's one of the problems for Cassandra in the public school system not having the resources is that the public school system has been drained of students to some extent by the shift of students towards homeschooling, towards parochial schools, towards charter schools, towards a bunch of different sources that have caused the public schools to have to deal with more problems with less resources. And so, you know, it's a little bit like health insurance. If you mandate everyone into the health insurance, so even that the healthy and the unhealthy, health insurance gets cheaper and the whole thing works better. If all of the students were in the public school system would be better. You know, there's more cream. The more milk you have, the more cream you have, and the more resources you have. And so we have saddled our public school system with increasing problems by dint of a number of the trends we have, trends towards charter schools, trends towards vouchering, and essentially moving people out of the public school track. And you know, our system, our education system in 1910 and 1920 was founded on public school for all, and public school was the norm. And it's increasingly less the norm.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. First off, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I would just like to say, and I think Earl's really touched on this, is this whole idea of humanity. And I think what's missing a lot in this world is just humanity and, dare I say, love, especially after we got a little bit of love now going with the Packers and you know, possibly going to be going to the playoffs, which is good news. I do want to say that during this holiday season, the one thing I will honestly, at least I felt, was that we didn't have any drama going on in the presidency. We didn't have any of any of this kind of stuff like we've had with the past occupant, where every day was about the past occupant. And I have to tell you, I was relieved and I felt good. Just like I want to say goodbye to 2023 by saying, you know, goodbye to the previous occupant of the White House, Donald Trump. I want to say goodbye to the Aaron Rodgers for 2023.
Who?
And just want to move on and have, you know, a new fresh start. And just everyone realizing that we're all in this together, and do unto others as you'd like done unto you. And, you know, let's get back to some humanity like Earl talked about at the end of, you know, this last year. And I think if we do that, we're going to be in pretty good shape. And, you know, we really got to look at why it is that the billionaire class wants to pit us against each other so they can steal the money out the back door.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much as always. Good to know you're feeling better. Happy New Year to you. Got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, Sandy, you're going to educate us on the Iowa caucuses and why all of us need to know why that's the most important time.
Well, I got a lot of work to do in the next 3 minutes. So.
All right, we'll return.